Welcome to Star for the Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SFA Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just when mine had to join us, we have Talkcast every Thursday night starting 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either join us on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. Call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the TalkShoe website at www.talkshoe.com and search for Call ID 17702. Or you can join us on the YouTube live feed, the stream. And I send out the links to that in various forms, from Twitter to the discussion board to the Discord channel. And I invariably try to get it also up on Facebook. So, moving onward, we have some quick news from ADB. They officially announced that they released 63 ships on November 25th, so the people could have all those available for Cyber Monday. And Steve Cole was doing exactly what he did last week, which is working on catalog number 53, blogs, and also the artwork for the Gorn Master Starship book. And, of course, various things when it comes to Shapeways. Steve Petrick was busy working on SFB updates. Also, he was busy working on the Gorn Master Starship book. Hopefully, that will get done sooner than later. Jean was doing her best to keep people happy on Facebook. Also, upload various ships to Shapeways. And, of course, keep the spam off the BBS. Moving onward to the SFB Online tournaments. Of course, we have the lovely Masters Tournament run by Andrew Koch. Round one is completed, even though it's not marked as completed on the board. I have to update that because there was a replacement player, and I still have to update that. I will do that shortly. The only reason I know about this is because, well, that guy was my opponent. So there's two games that have been played. My game did get started. We have played, I think around three turns. Yeah, three turns, because I actually got to recharge one of my plasmas when it comes to the first turn, because I launched the first turn. I did a fast load F on this past turn, and actually hit my dear sweet opponent. Right now we're very close. The only reason we're close is because I screwed up. Instead of turning away and having him facing a brand new shield, I stayed facing him and left him to fire at my two box shield, and of course he did 20 some internals instead of doing maybe three or four. So it's like, you know, that wasn't good. So hopefully I'll pull out, though. Fortunately, I knocked out both of his ESGs on the internals that I did do against him. So, yay. So those are out, so I don't have to worry about that as much. So he just has the phaser Gs, the disruptors, which he still has to repair one. One has been destroyed. He has not repaired it yet. And then, of course, the other phaser ones. Moving onward. Okay, the Wrath 48 tournament, not much has happened there. It's still very quiet, which is hoping beyond all hope that people will actually jump on that during their breaks during Christmas. Hopefully they won't be completely involved in family things. I'll understand if they have been, and that's the way things go, but I'm hoping that will not be the case and they'll actually be able to get like at least some turns in, which so they could actually start things going. When it comes to library progress, again, nothing, though I have to really get caught up on the emails that Frank did send me. I know I mentioned it last week. Sorry, I have not got any progress since last week due to various things, including just trying, my leg started hurting on Friday. So hopefully it will feel better tomorrow. And I don't have to worry about going to the doctors, though I'm probably going to be going to the doctors probably in another week or two. And with that is the news for this week. It's me as the one, the only, the Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, we've got me, we've got Dave, we've got a guest, which is always good. Welcome, guest four. I hope you enjoy my discussion. And obviously, I'll be looking to the chat room in its various forms to see if there's any feedback people wish to give. And I'm more than happy to interact with people in the chat room. That's part of why I have a chat room, is because I want people to tell me I'm full of crap, or that, you know, bring up other more poignant points other than I'm crap. I'm hoping we'll have better discourse than that. Okay, so actually tonight, I do plan on at the moment recording an episode on December 27th. I see no reason why not at this moment in time. It could, you know. So we're going to have a recording. I'm also keeping in mind because of I will have my in-laws going to be coming in on the 27th. Also, I have to pick up another one of my in-laws on the 28th. So it'll make things interesting. So I might decide to cancel, but I will give you guys at least a week's notice on that, so that you know if and so that we all will be there, you know, preparing. One thing I did forget is that this is, of course, Christmas time. I will be going through some gift ideas. I will be putting that off until next week, because maybe I'll give you some pointers this week, but that's not where I had planned on starting with this week's podcast. This week's podcast, actually, I plan on discussing something which came up on my Google, my YouTube channel. There's a guy named Patience Zero, as that gives a good indication. this guy's Patience Zero. But, you know, he's been very, we've had some nice discussions. He really would like to see more active play. Gave me some ideas of things to do. So we'll just have to wait and see. So what we're gonna, hopefully, you know, I've got some ideas of way to improve it when it comes to the streaming and recording. Obviously, part of that is going to be requiring that we actually have people that are willing to have to be recorded, and I also have to, either they're going to have to record it, or I'm going to have to record it. I will definitely take submissions from people, which is one thing I will be sending out an email on about, which is actively asking the community for submissions. If they just do a screen cast of their game and they're done, then they want to be able to post it. Either they can post it themselves, or if they could send me the video, which is, of course, that's, it's always difficult, whether it means just posting it up to YouTube, you know, uploading it to YouTube and have me download it, and then I can edit it, if you know, a little bit if need be, or do something along those lines. I would love to involve the community more. At the moment, I've got one video lined up for adding basically to the not the SFU on call feed, but to my normal other channel. I used my theandromeda@gmail.com account to create that one, which was I still haven't figured out exactly how to. I know I need quite a few followers to be able to have a vanity address, but you know, I'll just have to wait and see if I can do that. But anyhow, I've got 3 hours recorded. Obviously, some of that I need to trim out just because of there are certain things that occurred during the recording. One, like my son called in the middle of the recording, so that got captured. So I have to delete that. There was a part where absolutely nothing happened. I mean, it was dead. And this wasn't very long. It was what? 3 to 5 minutes. So I want to remove that because that's not exactly exciting video. Now, obviously I can see if I can trim it down even farther from 3 hours to maybe an hour. The difficult part about that is that I got a lot of voiceover recorded on it. So at the moment, a 2 hour video, I think, is probably where I'm going to leave it, you know, or 2 and a half hours, maybe trim out a little bit here, a little bit there. At the moment, I don't see anything. There's anything I can actually trim out because for most part, it was an ongoing game. Yeah. Sometimes it took what? 30 seconds to move or something along those lines. So it's not exactly the most exciting thing to have it, you know, for one hex. It takes 30 seconds to move one hex. But one thing I actually explained to patient zero when it comes to like X-Wings, they don't have, is it, you know, the one suggestion which is actually I'm going to be talking about tonight, which is if this, I think it's possible, which is the whole idea of speed play. Timed impulses, timed turn, time EAs. The whole idea is that you have a maximum amount of time. The only question I have about timed SFB is what do you do then? And that's one thing we'll be discussing just a little bit later. The whole idea is that he was mentioning how X-Wings, you know, it's pretty fast. It's kind of exciting as it keeps moving relatively quickly. The problem is with that is it's unlike those games, SFB itself has proportional movement. And proportional movement requires you to move every single hex versus like X-Wings. You can move anywhere between 3 and 6 inches per turn. So you're moving a lot. It's like the one thing I always bring up, which is comparing it to Silent Death. Silent Death is a movement points based game. That is, you have so many movement points. Let's say you have, because of your engines, you have, let's say, 6 movement points. That means you can do certain actions with that 6 movement points. For example, you could go straight 6 hexes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I forget if Silent Death has, if you have, it requires you more movement cost to movement points to turn or not. Because I know with, if you're playing, dang it, Daniel's game. Katz. Jeez. That's off. I can't remember. Remember the MJ12 games. That's off. I can't remember the game. But his game, your to turn is based on your speed. So to turn like one hex, you know, I forget how much it is at this point. It's been a while since I played the game. But, you know, but okay, let's go with just say that with Silent Death, even though it's been a long time since I played, so I'm not sure this is the case. Let's say that it takes 2 movement points to turn. So to turn one hex, it costs you 2 movement points. So you could move 4 hexes and turn. You know, so this alone makes play go a little bit faster overall. But you're still, even if you ever watch X-Wings, there are times where it is kind of slow. If you mute the voices when it comes to the announcers and the people who are the commentators on the podcast, no, it's not even a podcast, it's a video. You know, so on that video, you'll have those, you know, spots like in between turns, where the only quote unquote action that you see is you see them looking down at their side of the table, and they might be moving things around on their side of the table, which is okay. What are they doing? It's you know, the commentators aren't mentioning, okay, why is that person fits with this or that and that. In some cases, you know, okay, they have to do things like go, they have to measure things. But that's usually during the turn. Well, turn to turn is sometimes between turns. So, basically, the whole thing is that the idea is to have the video move relatively quickly. And that's the one thing I wanted to discuss tonight, which is what is the things that we can do to improve videos of SFB and FedCom. And the one thing that he suggested that I want to at least review and go over and think about it and see if, I think it's possible, but as I said, the question is what happens if you don't hold true to that system? What do you do? Now, so the one thing he was suggesting was basically timed play. Okay, that's fine and all. You know, the whole idea of you have, okay, how much time will you for? I'm going to start with the SFB. For each impulse in SFB, how much time do you give for one impulse? For this is the movement portion, okay? Because invariably we have to split this up into the movement portion and impulse portion. You know, the activity portion. Because invariably, that's what most in my experience, most of the time, when it comes to the activity portion is relatively quick. You know what you plan on doing. The only question is, okay, do you want to keep going through with that plan? And yeah, that might take a little bit of time, but it shouldn't take you too long. But I think the more apt place where things are going to slow down is, of course, da-da-da-da, movement. But what is a reasonable amount of time for movement to occur for a single impulse? Let's start with, I'm going to go with the impulse. We'll handle energy allocation later. You know. So, for a single person to move, this is going to be one ship. We're going to focus on duels, okay, and not focus on large fleets. Large fleets are a heck of a lot more complicated, you know. So let's start with the single ships, you know, single ship duel. Terminate cruisers kind of thing, of basic terminate scenario. So let's say that we give them, 15 seconds? Let me just give a good idea. So let's go. I'll give you an idea what 15 seconds is. Okay, let's start now. Now, okay, that was 15 seconds. So that gives you an idea of how much time you have to move if you give it 15 seconds. So for 15 seconds, you know, that sounds reasonable. Now, of course, here's the thing. Any good SMB player, when it comes to the beginning of the game, I'm not talking about in the middle of the game. I'm talking about the first 16 to 24 impulses of the game, not of the turn, but of the game. There's a process in a tournament game that people use, including myself, which is called Zip. What Zip is Zip is the ability just to, when your opponent moves, you move. Then when after you move, immediately, boom, goes on to the next impulse. Then you move, you know, all depends on, obviously, that will, who moves first all depends on speed and all that kind of thing. So the 15 seconds isn't yet even needed. So, okay, that part will go quickly. Now, let's continue on that track of thinking, which is about movement. Let's say we give them 15 seconds for movement. Just say, to 15 seconds to decide where they're going to move and let go. You know, the whole, I'm not sure you guys remember the whole idea of holding down on the counter. You put your finger, okay, I'm not ready to concede that that's my actual movement. And, you know, when you finally let go, boom, it's good. You know, that's permanent now. You have no ability to change. So, it will be, you know, I think 15 seconds is fine. The question is, of course, is if that 15 seconds is exceeded, what do you do? Do you then just say, okay, well, you lost your move? That's the only penalty that you could possibly inflict on a person that would do anything, you know? So, okay, let's say that we'll do that. Something simple. Just have it so that they no longer, they miss their opportunity to move. Okay, 15 seconds. Okay, now activity. Here's always the gotcha is that, okay, the decision for activity, how long are you going to give it? Are you going to give it 15 seconds or are you going to give it 30 seconds? I mean, completely, as in describe your move, describe your activity, give you 30 seconds. I think that that's kind of crazy. I think 15 seconds for decision on whether you're going to be having an activity, and then if you decide that you're going to do an activity, give at least a full minute, if not two. So in theory, that will extend the game a bit, but I don't think most people are going to need 2 minutes to think about what they want to do. Most people are going to go forward, and they have a plan in mind. Okay, when I get to range 10, I'm going to do this. Or, okay, when you get to range 10, you go reevaluate. Okay, do I want to like launch the plasma here, or do I want to wait? Want to wait until impulse, two impulses later? You know, get a little closer. You know, all depends. So you know that might speed things up a bit. Okay, that is fine. Again, it's pretty basic that, okay, if you have it that way, that means that after, let's say, 15 seconds to decide whether you're going to be doing activity or not. That means if there's movement and there is a decision and there's no activity, there's a possibility of 30 seconds for each impulse. Okay, so that's half a minute. So it'll take 15 minutes per turn. That's speed up things quite a bit. The question is that doable? Now, obviously, that's one thing we have to test out before any kind of rules will be placed in mind. You know, because if you really think about it, 15 minutes is a really fast turn. But if you really think about it, 15 minutes isn't that long, isn't that tough to do if you're not doing anything. It's only when you actually have to sit down and figure out, okay, I'm going to launch this, then this. Okay, I'm going to fire this, and this. That's why I was saying that you need the additional time. You need the 1 to 2 minutes to actually make a decision on what you're going to do without feeling pressured to a certain degree. So, we will just have to, because that's good. And for EAs, let's give people 5 minutes. I think 5 minutes sounds reasonable. You know, we might want to give them up to 10 minutes, but I think 5 minutes is probably reasonable for if you want a speed version of the game. And since this is, again, we're talking about single ship duels is what we're talking about. We're not talking about fleets. Fleets, that's a whole nother ball of wax, because fleets take a heck of a lot longer because you have to think about what you want each other ship to do, and in addition to figuring out what you want a ship to do, you also want to figure out coordination between ships. Well, not ships, but units. Because it could be ships, it could be fighters, it could be shuttles, it could be PFs. It doesn't have to be ships per se. So that's why we're trying to stay focused on tournament play, so that it makes it doable. You know, the whole idea of speed play, you know, whether it's chess or it's SFB, is to have a relatively quick game. And that's one thing I probably should look into, which is, I'm sure we've all seen it, which is when you have a chess match and you have that timer on the side, and I don't know how that timer works. Does that timer work the way, you know, okay, the first player, you know, basically sets the time, you know, hits the timer, and then the next player, when he finally does his move, he hits the timer. Now, okay, what does that mean? What is that timer used for? Is it used for calculating how much time is done by each player? Is it, you know, what does it actually do? You know, I'm sure there's many chess masters out there going to scream, it's like, oh, it's this, you dummy. In which case, I apologize for not being well-versed in chess play and the use of timers in chess play. So, you know, I obviously, if we can have a game like that go, you know, it could definitely speed things up tremendously. The question is, are people into it? You know, would people be willing to try to play like what I call a speed SFB? That's one thing I would want to add some tools into the online client to act as a timer. At the very least, to notice, to tell people how long they've been waiting, and therefore so they can easily know if they run out of time or not, and of course if your opponent has run out of time or not. I'm not sure if I want the online client to enforce that kind of thing, you know. But, you know, I can easily put up a quick timer and just hit the timer. You know, like at the beginning of the turn, you both click on your timers and you wait and you have 15 seconds and you see if that person actually has selected movement or not. You know, and we might want, in that case, we might even want to add a date timestamp on all actions to have an idea of, okay, which ones have taken longer than others and so forth. So, now let's just talk about EA for a moment. Movement and impulse activity, that's kind of obvious of the penalty involved. That is that the penalty involved would be that you'd lose movement, you wouldn't be able to move. We have to be careful with that because, force the person to go forward. That is, if you can't make a decision, you're going forward. Because I just thought about it, because you could intentionally use that if you decide I don't want to actually move. I want to be able to do what they can do in FedCom. FedCom, you can actually do canceled movements where you don't move the ship. And that could be a really advantage to someone who didn't want to actually move their ship. They're going too fast, and one way of slowing down would be that. Dave, is that true? I'd have to look up the rules. But I understand there's probably 3 minutes for allocation, 15 seconds to the side of a movement is a guideline. You know, like the Pirate's Code. Not really rules, it's more like guidelines. If you could quote me the rule, that'd be fantastic. Okay, you're just being silly. Okay. Because I'm always on Burn Up Dave, because that actually sounds possibly familiar when it comes to Federation Commander. Let's see if I can find it. No, I don't see it at the moment. Okay, I don't see it. That's the whole idea, Dave. It'd be speed SFB. And I think actually 15 seconds to movement for FedCom wouldn't be bad either. But again, I just realized the penalty that I had was wrong, because a penalty of having is not movement is not a penalty. It's actually a benefit. A penalty would be to force a person to move forward straight ahead. And of course, if they're right near the wall, they could actually run into the wall because they weren't able to decide what to do. I think that'd be doable. Now, the tough part would be energy allocation. What do you do if a person can't complete their energy allocation in the time limit. You know? And the tough part about that, in my mind, would be enforcing it when it comes to an online client. Because the one thing I was thinking of that might work, well, might work as a penalty, which is take all of your energy and you plot out max speed. You know, whatever that is defined as for based on the previous turn. So if you were going speed 10 the whole last turn, you automatically would be moving speed 20 if you have the amount of power. And then after that, then I have to look at it, but I think what you could probably base the allocation on is, I think, reallocation due to damage. The whole idea, it's one of those crazy rules. Optional rules. There it is. Okay, let's bring up Starfleet Battles Master Starship book and let's see if I can find that rule real quick. Because I could have sworn it was one of those optional rules that you could do. D. I think it's D. Yeah, and, oh, there it is. It's called Energy Balance Due to Damage. Let me see if I can. Look at this for a moment. No. Before that. No, after that. Okay, before that. Oh, there it is. Okay. Let me look at this real quick. When a ship receives damage, its power output may be reduced. This may require the player to modify, this is the optional rule, modify his energy plans to account for the power they no longer there to use. Yeah, I agree. It's a sicko one. But the whole idea being used as a basis of how to allocate for the turn, i.e. when it comes to priorities. I was thinking about max out the speed and then charge phases, then charge anything else. Max speed, then continue to charge any multi-turn arming weapons for at least the minimum necessary, and then phasers, and after that, you know, whatever's left, put into reinforcement to the weakest shield. You know, that'd be one way of doing it. Now, obviously, the tough part about that is enforcement when it comes to energy allocation. And when you run out of time on the online client, I actually have to figure that out. And the tough part always with this has always been the multi-turn arming weapons, which is one of those things that I really don't want to do for SSB. You know, I did it for FedCom, and FedCom, it made it harder to use the client. And I agree that I made a boo-boo on that. So, I agree, Dave mentioned that, you know, energy balance due to damage is for a person who really likes to do math. and that he only liked to do math. The fanciest thing he wants to do is unplotted midterm speed changes. And I kind of agree with that. I'm not sadistic enough. Come on, Dave. If you play Andromedan, you know how much time you spent doing math, because you're constantly doing math when it comes to PA panels. But okay, how much can you put into it? How much can you get out of it? What be required to make enough available in your battery so you can toggle your PA panels? This is the kind of things that, as an Andromeda player, you're always thinking about it. Yeah. I understood, David, especially with the online client, plotting midterm speed changes are relatively simple. Obviously, one of the great things about the client when it comes to midterm speed changes is that it will tell you that this is an illegal change or it's not an illegal change, but it will not enforce it. It is a guide. It is a tool to help you obey the rules. If you want not to obey the rules, that's fine. Yeah, Dave, as I mentioned, PA panels definitely, I agree that PA panels have more than enough math. Yeah, if you like math, play Andromedans. That will definitely give you your fix. It's not just energy allocation, it's also the PA panels that you're constantly thinking about math. Constantly. Let's go to the other side of the fence, the FedCom, just for a moment, because of, I think you could probably apply the same thing for FedCom. Obviously, it works a little differently because you have eight impulses, and then you have another four subpulses, which is just movement. Now, those impulses obviously would take longer period of time, because you'd want to have it so that each subpulse that you would have 15 seconds for movement for each subpulse. And again, I think the penalty would be moving forward, have to go straight ahead, no matter what. Because straight ahead is never illegal. Straight ahead might do you damage, might cause you issues, but straight ahead is not illegal. Versus, you know, require someone to turn. Well, you can't turn because of that. They might not have fulfilled their turn mode. So, you know, again. So, and the activity, again, since it only happens once every four subpulses, things should speed up a little more. You have the whole idea of doing it that way was just to increase the speed of the game, period. And I think having it so that you limit the time, obviously the whole idea is to actually force it to go faster. Energy allocation, again, 5 minutes, I think. Five or ten. I haven't decided which one. But obviously, that's going to take the longest period of time. That's when people, for FedCom, I say 5 minutes max, just because of for FedCom, energy allocation is not as a grueling thing as SFB. SFB, you're planning out your entire turn. Do you do planning in FedCom's energy allocation phase? Yes, you do. Especially if you have multi-turn army weapons, you have to think about that. Obviously, if you don't have multi-turn on weapons, then you still have to think about, okay, how much speed do I want to use and how much do I want to have available for weapons, basically. You, in my mind, you rarely think about reinforcement, because with FedCom, your reinforcement is limited by the actual amount of batteries that you have on that ship. And that's how much you can use for a single volley. So, it's not like you can take all the additional energy that you have left over and put it towards reinforcement. You can't. And because the whole idea of FedCom is speed is life. It's truly a game that exemplifies that. So, you know, leave 5 minutes for initial allocation, 15 seconds for movement, 15 seconds for decide on if you're doing have any of the activities. And then afterwards, if you decide to actually do an activity, give a full minute or two. I think that would actually can work out. Obviously, that's something that we should think about. You know, not think about. What we need to do is play test it. See how does it work? You know, obviously, I can do it by myself. But again, that doesn't really, it's not a good way of testing it, is by yourself. Though, you know, maybe it can be a benefit to test out by yourself when it comes to solo games. You know, when you're fighting monsters and through the automated systems. In that case, you know, you can test it out. Just a little bit, to see if it works. You know? So, you know, that's one thing I think it'd be a good idea to test and see how it works. You know, I think that when it comes to making videos more interesting, it's not just about the speed of gameplay. I think that will definitely benefit people. Obviously, here comes the question. Okay, let's just back up just for a moment. Why do we do the videos? Why do we want people excited about the game? Because we want them to be interested in the game. We want them to start playing SFB or Federation Commander. That's what we want. Because that will help grow the game and help have more players to actually play the game. Which always, I think it's always a good thing. Do we, you know, so is that best way of going around about it? You know? Is it the best way to go around to do that? You know? Just have to, I guess we'll have to wait and see. You know, obviously, having the speed games might help. I think that what Patient Zero, they would like to see, you know, a more excited video, something along the lines of X-Wings. And I think for that, what we would need to do as part of that is that we would have to get people to play, you know, real life, and get those people that want to play in real life to play with miniatures and set up miniatures and set up maybe buy, get some of the drones from Shapeways, and I think that would be a tremendous help in showing that kind of, you know, what SFB could be like and be a little closer to what people are expecting when it comes to X-Wings. And obviously we can buy some really beautiful maps. I actually got pretty nice maps. It's a vinyl map. There's some other ones which are nicer, which I think you can get from ChessX. I haven't checked ChessX for a while, so I'm assuming they still sell all those wonderful maps. And we have a surprise visit from Barry. How you doing, Barry?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Okay, I didn't know if I was. Yeah, I can. I wasn't sure if I was still muted or not.
Nope. Oh, they don't announce that you're unmuted?
It didn't. Well, I didn't hear it.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure because I'm not sure about the new system.
Ah. Okay. What time does it normally start? 9 a.m.?
No. 9:30 p.m.
Oh, okay. And what time is it now?
It's 10:20.
10:20. Sorry, I'm in another time zone.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah, and I forgot to set my alarm an hour early.
Mm-hmm. Hey, as long as you're not, you know, not oversleeping because you forgot to set your alarm, you know, I think that's more critical.
Yeah. So how have you been?
Good, been good, been good. Been actually got to play some online earlier this week in the Masters tournament. Finally got to play. Yeah, it's a really close game. I'm playing the Firehawk. I'm in the Firehawk against the LDR. Mm-hmm. The good thing is that I've knocked out both ESGs of the LDR.
Oh, that's nice.
The bad thing is that I did something stupid and allowed him to get 20 plus internals on me.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It happens.
How close are you to the LDR?
At the moment, we are around, let me think, between 50 and 20 hexes.
Oh, okay.
At the moment, because after last turn, we both kind of went, okay, whee, other directions, because both his shield number 2 and shield number 3 are down. His shield number 1 is almost completely down. So, but half of his shields are pretty much gone. I've got my shield number 6 it's up to 2 boxes after I repaired. I was downed to, it blasted it down. Shield number 1 is pretty low. It's down to 8 boxes. And then shield number 2 has, I forget how many. I think it's like 8 boxes against it. And shield number 5 has like 4 boxes knocked off it. You know.
So he's down a 2 shields down and 1 almost gone.
Mm-hmm.
Oof. Can we say EPTs?
Yeah. This would be the time.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
That would be the time.
Really
scary at this point.
Oh, yeah. And the reason why I even got to that part was that I fast loaded. I launched a Plasma F, and then I did a fast load of an F.
All fast loads are Fs.
Right.
Or.
Agreed. And I was able to go, and that's how I actually put down his shield.
Yeah.
Of course, the real fun part was that he brought up his ESG number 1. He actually hit me with ESG number 1. And then I blew it off his ship.
Okay.
And then I fired my phasers at him, and I got some more internals, and I knocked off shield number ESG number 2, which was coming up on range 2 for that turn. So it's like, so he, for him, it was kind of difficult. Also, he's down definitely 2 power, and so am I. I think I'm down like 2. For LDR, with 2/3 movement ship. Yeah, 2 points of power hurts him a lot more than 2 points of power hurts me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, if you're down 20 damage, most of that is your
most of it was
hull is gone.
Right. And I lost one of my plasma Fs.
Which is not too big a deal.
Agreed. He knocked out one of my batteries, but I just repaired my battery this past term.
Yeah, but two ESGs down, I assume he's taken other weapons too.
One disruptor. He has all his phasers.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to get close. You want to.
Well, that's what happened with the 20-some Eternals is that I got close and he centerlined me with his phaser G's and went my shield.
But on the other hand, without a number one or a minimal number one, closing is going to be difficult for him.
Yeah, agreed. And my current issue, obviously, is that shield number six is down to two boxes, and I'm at the top of the board. So if I turn in, I have to. It's gonna. My little itty bitty shield is gonna be facing him. This is why I'm considering at some point, and I have to think about this really hard, which is possibly heading back towards him, so that my just so my shield is not exposed.
So I take it your plasmas are empty at this point.
No. I've got. I'm coming up. We're doing turn four right now, so that I have one of my I'm still charging my plasmas, so I'll be in a good situation plasma wise. In theory, I can have two Fs available to me this turn.
Mm-hmm. Right. But if you wait a turn, you can have two S's and an F.
One S and an F, yeah. Because I just used a fast load this turn. So next turn, I can have one S and two Fs. Theoretically, I mean.
Yeah. Well,
should be interesting.
Yes. The fact that he has all his phasers means that he can really only use all his phasers on your plasmas if he's facing you, and that's kind of scary.
Agreed, but at the same time, I want him to use his phaser Gs on my plasmas instead of being on my ship.
Well, there is that.
Yeah, because if he's firing the phaser Gs on the plasmas and I'm firing a ship, I can knock down his shields or do whatever I need to do to hurt his ship while he's worrying about my plasmas.
Right, and he is the kinetic fireball of death. Which means that he doesn't have much. He can't take much.
Agreed. And all four of his shuttles are launched. Two of those were suicides, which I ran away from.
So all the shuttles are gone.
All the shuttles are on the board. I've not killed them.
Okay.
Well, I mainly last turn, both him and I were focusing on repairs and recharging.
Right. So the shuttles are out on the board. Two are suicides. Two he could recover and start with. But right now he is weaselless.
Mm-hmm. That is the one benefit. And that is knowing all his shuttles are out on the board. That means he has no wild weasels. Of course, at the same time, he's keeping up his speed.
He has no choice at this point. Yeah. Dropping speed with no weasels against the Firehawk is suicide.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. And one thing I don't mind the Firehawk. It's in some cases actually it's kind of nice when it comes to some of the phasers, because of you have that one rear arc, rear extended rear arc phaser one.
Yes.
And I decided to try it anyway. It was like range 22. He had his down shield facing me. So like, I got a phaser one. Let's try it. What the heck? So I rolled it and I missed. It's like,
oh well.
Well, you know, I had one third chance, and I missed.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay. Yeah, I was willing to try it because, hey, some free internals, I'm willing, for one point of energy, I'm willing to chance it.
And yeah. It's one of those things, tink, 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 and all of a sudden there's no ship left.
Right, which is what he's been doing with his two shuttles. He's been plinking me with his two-man shuttles while his two suicides are just sitting there. His two suicides did, when he launched them, it forced me to turn.
Yeah.
Even though I probably should have done that, like the impulse before. So I had a brand new shield. Because of, if I would have gone straight, they would have hit me.
That would have been game over.
Yeah, that would have been. Definitely would have been game over at that point. As I said, I was foolish. You know, I got too aggressive when I shouldn't have. You know, I got the nice and close. Like, okay, oh cool, I can get closer. I can use my phaser threes, and I can beat the crap out of them. Because I knocked down his shield number one down to 10 points so I can get it, so it's really low. And then I forgot that he could turn, and he turned and centerline phaser G's. I went, oh, that was dumb.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, I did it, and then he moved, and I went, crap. I should have, you know, at that point, you can't ask, oh, can we go back now? Because I realized I just did something really dumb. You know, no.
Yeah.
You know, at that point, you
I
can't.
Know. I know exactly what you mean. Yeah. Yep.
So, you know, it is what it is. Unfortunately, we tried. I was hoping to get together the last night. But then choir practice came up, and also I emailed him, and then he went. I told him, you know, I had to go to choir practice, and he said, "Oh, no problem." You know, actually, for him it turned out better. We didn't play last night because he got busy with other things. And I said, "Oh, hey, I was going to replace the podcast with a streaming of our game." And I said, oh, how can we do a 9 o'clock to 10:30 game, you know, Eastern time? And he said, no, I'm going to the movies today. So I was like, it's like, okay, well, you know, I was rolling the dice on that one just to see if we could do it. Because on midday Saturday, he's going to be leaving for vacation. Then we'll be back until the 20th.
Wow.
Yeah, so we're not gonna be able. I'm gonna be busy tomorrow night because I'm gonna be bowling, so that means we have to wait until the 21st or later to play. What I'm hoping to do is actually after Christmas, you know, during Christmas and New Year's, play during that time.
Yeah,
and hopefully he's available during the day.
Right. So. Oh man, I'm tired.
Okay. Well, Barry, it's been nice chatting with you. If you want to, why don't you just go to bed? Because you've had.
I will. So, My daughter graduates college December 19th.
Awesome.
Electrical engineering degree.
Cool.
And boy, did she get the plum job. Holy crap. She got a really nice job.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Awesome.
Well.
Are you going to be able to make it to the graduation?
Yes, I will be there.
Awesome.
I already told my boss, no, I'm not missing that one.
Understood.
Yeah, he knows. I work Thanksgiving Day and Friday and Saturday, but I ain't missing the graduation.
Mm-hmm. Understood.
But I may miss Gamers of Winter.
Yeah, if it happens, it happens. Okay. Well, why don't I let you go? Sounds like you're about to fall asleep right here on the podcast.
I've already done that. I'm already asleep. I just haven't closed my eyes yet.
Okay. Okay. Well, you have a good night, and I'll talk to you another time.
Good night.
Okay.
See Bye-bye. Ya. Bye.
Nice little chat there with Barry, mainly talking about my adventures with the game. Obviously, discussing with Barry, I'm trying not to reveal too much because obviously it's an ongoing game. So that's why I can't, as I mentioned to Patience Zero, that I can't actually publish my new video, which has me basically giving up kind of a quote unquote behind the scenes commentary on what I'm doing, you know, what's my thought processes and all that kind of thing, and in the hope that people will be interested in the game and find what I record interesting. Now the tough part is going to be it's still going to be quite long. I'm not sure how YouTube is. Well, if it'll accept the 2.5 hour video. If not, I'll have to split it into like as it is, I'm going to be having multiple videos anyway. Because I figure over the whole entire game, I will probably be 5 hours in total. You know, but and most of that will be me talking. So that's why I'm like, some of the other games I've actually recorded, I can't just speed them up because of the commentary is in real time. So we'll just have to wait and see for that. And maybe see if I can, during Christmas, if I can find somebody that's willing to try to play Speed SFB, you know, and maybe I'll see if there is a see if there is possibly a an online. This is going to sound weird, but why not? See if there's actually an online timer. Because if there's an online timer, you know, a shared timer between people, then, you know, we don't have to worry about trying to do it ourselves. Obviously, I know my phone has a timer, so I could use my phone as a timer. And we can, for the most part, do it on a, what's called system? You know, basically trust each other to hold true to the rules. You know, honor system. That's it. That's what I'm looking for. But we'll just have to wait and see. Hopefully, I can find somebody and we can test it out and see how it all goes. So with that, I think I will wrap it up for this evening. Had a nice discussion, obviously, about playing Speed SFB and FedCom and how that would work, and also a quick description of my game and how that whole thing is going in for the Masters Tournament. So with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.